Welcome to the premiere of my new broadcast and podcast, Tungsten Bulletproof Hacks for the Moth-Eaten. I'm Christine Bruce. Consider me your grandmotherly accomplice for the next half hour. Tungsten broadcasts at the saddest hour on Wet'suwet'en territory through CICK 93.9 FM. Stationed in a 100-year-old train car in Smithers, BC. Well, look at that, the thing's even a little older than me. Watching the rising statistics around the world on people declaring their sense of loneliness and isolation, it worries me because this can go down a dark path fast. Luckily, as a grandmother, I have a superpower that helps build something powerful in your DNA. Some call it resilience, but I call it tungsten. Life hacks that make you feel less moth-eaten, more bulletproof. I met my most grandmotherly today because I want in our first visit to introduce you to the inspiration for this new show. My grandson, Lawson, lives in Ontario, and I live in BC. In between, there's an invisible but vigorous cord that binds us together. Lawson and I always feel a little more bulletproof when we read together, because kids have natural tungsten. For one thing, kids love mischief. Let's go get into mischief together. Lawson and I enjoy lots of activities together, but the big one is books. We share a book almost every weekend. When I started reading to Lawson last year, the goal was to spend time getting to know my grandson better. It was a selfish goal, I admit, but a couple of months into it, I realized that Lawson was getting a lot from this too. If he enjoyed the book, he asked to read it again. He requested specific kinds of books from me and began to interrupt the story if he had something to add, which always improved the experience for both of us. So why does it matter that we read together? Well, I did some research, and here are a few reasons that you should read together, according to a report from the National Institute of Education. When you read with a child, you form an emotional bond. It's the single most important activity leading to their success in and love of reading, and you know that's no small success in today's business world. You're creating memories that you'll be sharing for the rest of your lives. Being together fends off loneliness. That's the big one for us here today. It builds your confidence when someone likes being with you. It inspires learning from each other and learning about each other and yourself. When everyone is moving too fast, time to sit together and share stories under a blanket is restorative. Children develop important life skills, like how to socialize better and to communicate more clearly. It builds language and cultural awareness and inspires curiosity and imagination. With reading comes thinking and analyzing, which prepares children for the demands and questions of life. I love that I'm helping to shape my grandson's mind, and he loves that I want to. Lawson and I both crave one-to-one attention, and sometimes he excuses himself from home life, carrying me on the phone to a more quiet space. And when we share a visit with his dad, it intensifies the feeling of belonging to a family unit, and that we all have a place within that. So why do children ask for books to be read repeatedly? Apparently, reading a story brings comfort in knowing what to expect next. It gives children a sense of control and confidence. Children watch for patterns and familiarity to make sense of their world. And for me, when Lawson asks me to repeat a book, I consider it the highest form of flattery because it says I did a good job picking the books that week. And it says he likes being with me. Okay, so here are a few advantages to reading with children. When you read with children, it nurtures an understanding of age and respect for older people. Because ageism is just dumb. I'm contributing to my grandson's development. I feel fulfilled and wanted. And grandparents, read non-parent adults, play a vital role in children's well-being because we tend to be more relaxed and accepting. We aren't the disciplinarian in the situation anymore. Grandchildren and children are more likely to accept advice and support and share confidences when you're reading with them. And being with children prevents loneliness. And finally, it's fun. You can forget your age, keep up to date, learn new things, and enjoy a child's sense of wonderment. I always come away seeing things differently. Okay, here's the read aloud. I liked reading with my grandson, but one day my son decided to read one of Lawson's books to me, and I was blown away at Tom's skill as a reader. Tom has agreed to come read a bit from their favorite book, Pugtato Finds a Thing, by Sophie Corrigan. Pugtato Finds a Thing brings together vegetables, animals, and friendship. It's a clever mashup that celebrates the power of friends, compassion, and belief in your strengths. It's a children's picture book, but I think any age can find tungsten in this one. Now, I need to interrupt this reading for a public service announcement. According to our national broadcasting rules, I'm not allowed to read more than 10 lines of any content that's still under copyright. So, I've asked Tom to choose 10 lines that made sense to share with you, hoping you'd visit your local library or bookstore to read the rest yourself. Tom, Lawson, and I really love the rhythms in this book.
Daddy, yes? Are you going to read Pugtato?
Okay, Baba, here we go. Pugtato by Sophie Corrigan. Okay. One day, as he planted some seeds in the ground, he dug up a thing all shiny and round. Pugtato thought hard, but he hadn't a clue what this thing was or what it could do.
Next, the interaction between Pugtato and one of his spuddies, Tomatoed.
He then asked Tomatoed down by the puddle, "Do you know what this thing is? It has me befuddled." "That thing is for bouncing," he croaked. "What a treasure!" And he gave it a wet, bouncy lip for good measure.
And finally, a few lines from the climax of the book.
Pugtato stared hard at the thing he had found. "Perhaps it's just shy, so it hides underground. I may not know much, but I know when I see a thing that needs hugs, so here's one from me." As Pugtato was wagging his cute tato tail, there suddenly appeared
a curly tail snail.
Obviously, Lawson knows this book so well that he joins in on his favorite parts. Tom warned me in advance that Lawson would help out with a curly kale snail. But something unexpected happened when Tom and Lawson finished reading the book. When Pugtato announced that the snail is his newest best buddy, Lawson turned to his dad and spontaneously added his own comment.
"I know what you are. You're my newest best buddy.
You're mine.
Aw, thanks, Bubba."
Great story.
My favorite game with you, before you could read, you would always ask me, "What does that say?"
And yeah.
You say it so often that I finally turned it into a game and said, "It says, Tom Bruce, kiss your mother." You would always kiss me and then say, "What does it really say?"
Where did I give you kisses? Where was the number one spot I gave you kisses? Like on the cheek or on the forehead?
On the cheek.
On the cheek kisses. I used to give Nana lots of cheek kisses, Bubba. Where's your favorite place to get kisses, Bubba? On your neck? Really?
And my favorite spot to get tickles is my neck.
Yeah, because it tickles so much.
Yeah. I didn't think it would, but when I had a grandchild, it mattered to me that we could do things together. And Lawson and I like doing things, activities together, but the big one is books. We share a book almost every weekend. And I had to think about this. Why does it matter that we read together? So I did some research, and in a report from the National Institute of Education, there were several reasons. Let me throw a couple at you and you see whether you agree with me on these. So when you read with a child, you form an emotional bond. I'd say that's true.
When you engage with anyone, you're bonding with them, but children are especially impressionable, especially with family members, right? And so it's leveraging that opportunity to connect with the child.
And strengthening a family bond as a family unit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Apparently, it's the single most important activity that leads to their success in and love of reading, which is really important in today's business world.
Yeah.
So I like that I'm giving them an advantage.
It's incredible the resources we have available to us at the library. And it's been such a joy reading with Lawson every night ever since he was little. I love doing it. I hope Lawson does it with his children as well. And I hope he continues to read through his whole life, because we know that books are important. We know that reading is important. I'm happy to be able to contribute positively to that aspect of Lawson's life.
You know, that's one of my favorite memories of when you guys were little, was reading in bed before you went to sleep. And one of the Institute's recommendations is that you're creating memories that you're sharing for the rest of your lives. And that, there we are right there. You're saying, I'm really enjoying this right now. And I'm saying, well, I still remember it and love it.
Yeah, I remember us reading together as well. And I think that helped a lot with me developing my own ability to express myself. Like, people have commented in the past about my inflection when I speak. And I think a lot of that is because of you reading in such an animated way with me when I was younger. I think you did a really good job at conveying the dramatic effect of the stories.
Well, see, I think I've just built your confidence that someone likes to be with you, because we spent time every night. You know, you could count on that time together. And
yeah,
so you are more confident as you communicate with others.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. I didn't think about it that way. That makes sense.
And I think you developed some important life skills, like how to socialize, communicate more clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Something else they suggest is that it builds language and cultural awareness and inspires curiosity and imagination.
And it's a great way to spend your time. And it's also beneficial to, you know, I found it really helpful for my own sleep routine as well. Like, once I started reading with Lawson, I found not only would it help him fall asleep, it would help me fall asleep as well. And so I started looking forward to it. And as it became more strongly incorporated into my routine, I saw the benefits of it pretty clearly. Like, it helps me sleep better. And that's a good thing for me and for Lawson.
I know they say put your phone away, that you shouldn't be on the computer or the phone before you go to bed.
Oh, but screens, yeah.
It's totally different.
Yeah, I like to think that it kind of sends Lawson off into dreamland in a happy way. You know, it's like a way to guide that transition from being awake to falling asleep for him, and helping him, you know, dream nice dreams and not, you know, feel, and help him feel comfortable and safe, which is such a nice idea too, right?
Yeah. Whenever I read to him, at first I didn't understand this, but if he really liked a book, he would ask for me to read it again. And some books he asked me to read them three times. And according to the Institute, when you repeat a story, it brings comfort because they know what to expect next.
Yeah,
helps them to watch for patterns and familiarity, and gives them a sense of control and confidence, because I always agree. Whenever he says, let's do it again, all right, let's do it again. But as a grandparent, when he asks me to repeat a book, I think it's the highest form of flattery, because he's telling me I did a good job picking the books that week. And he likes being with me. Like, win-win, right?
I think there might also be a little aspect of him seeing if you'll do something that he asks too, you know, and it's nice that you'll say yes and not make an excuse, right? Like you said, that's empowering for him, and it helps him build his confidence a little bit, because he's like, oh, I can make a request and she'll say yes, you know.
I mean, I think that's part of the role of being a grandparent, is that you want to spend more time with them. And if they want to read the book more than once, great.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And
yeah.
I don't have to be the disciplinarian, and I don't have to deal with a mood. That none of that is my responsibility anymore. So it's easy for me to say yes.
Yeah, it's a nice position to be in.
The other nice thing I like about reading to Lawson is that sometimes he just wants the jealous moment where it's just me and him. He doesn't have you involved at all, for whatever reason, right? So he just picks up the phone and goes into the bedroom and climbs under the blankets. And then all I can see is his two little eyes watching me read the book. And that's a really intimate moment with my grandson. I really like
it. But he's got family members here that he sees far more often than he sees you. But you have a very special place in his heart, I think. He shows that he loves you in a special way. And I can tell, undoubtedly, he does love you a lot. You know, you've made a big impact on him. And I bet, I mean, who knows what it is for sure, right? But it's probably got a lot to do with the fact that you read books with him. So, you know, others have read books with him too, but not consistently. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think that makes a big difference when he can rely on the fact that we'll get together on the weekend and we will read a book. And sometimes I say to him, what kind of book do you want me to get from the library next week? He has control, you know. How many books do you want me to get? Are you okay with my getting a book on Christmas? I like to have him steer this a little bit so that he feels confident in what we're going to do. And if he enjoys the time, then I'm going to enjoy the time.
I wonder how much it helps that we've already established, you know, book reading time, and that we go to the library to get books. And then there's that connection with you also doing the same thing, right? So it's already special with him and I, but now it's extra special because you do the same thing reliably too.
You're listening to Tungsten on CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC, and I'm Christine Bruce. This week, I want to give a shout out to Mountain Eagle Books, one of our CICK sponsors. You can head over to 3rd Avenue in Smithers for a coffee and a light lunch, but I highly recommend you spend some time browsing for a good book while you're there. You might even spot your own copy of Punctato Finds a Thing. I found a piece of short music that I thought Lawson might really like, and when I played it for him, he grinned and started dancing around the room. His dad said he thought there was something wrong with my volume because it didn't sound right, and then he hesitated. Are those farts? This is Farting Around. Lawson approved. If you know me at all, you will know I love words. I love how they sound, I love how you can play with them and change the meaning, I love how languages are formed and how they develop. So in every episode of Tungsten, I'm probably going to point out words that I've enjoyed during our visit. This week, my favorite word from Punctato Finds a Thing is befuddled. It means to be confused, baffled, or dazed. I kind of like how this word sounds. As a friend once pointed out, you don't have to understand lots of underlying meaning behind a word or a song or a book to love it. The rhythm might appeal to you, or the repetition. You might like a song or a book because it reminds you of something nostalgic. Befuddled. I don't know, it reminds me of Elmer Fudd. Welcome to the Naughty Nook. In every episode, I'm hoping to share some ideas for getting into mischief. As a grandmother, I can tell you our society has spent too much energy pressuring you to behave in a certain way. Grandmothers love you regardless, unless you're an axe murderer or something. So, in this episode, here are some ways to share reading with someone. If you have a snuggle buddy for reading, find your own happy place. An armchair, a corner of the house, under a tree. Lawson loves to grab his blanket and make a fort, and then he takes me, in the phone, underneath that fort, and all I see are two big eyes watching me and the book. It's turned into my favorite sharing space. No one ever visits the children's section of a library unless they have kids, but why not? Register for a reading program so you can read books with other people in your community. Get to know your librarians. In Smithers, I highly recommend Aaron and Wendy, but the other staff are pretty terrific too. Mills Office Supplies in Smithers knows me very well because I'm always ordering books, both for myself and to give as presents. Statistically, 3 out of every 10 children have no books of their own, which puts them at a disadvantage as they learn to read. Just a little bug in your ear. You know how I discovered Punctato. Lawson and Tom brought it out one day and wanted to read it to me. Ask people for recommendations. You won't be disappointed, and they'll love to tell you what they love. Get a subscription to a comic or a magazine, because those are full of great stories and activities to share with children. I gave Lawson Chickadee this year. So what if the postman is sniggering when he delivers your subscription to Chickadee to you? Maybe they'd like to borrow it when you read it. And finally, don't forget to share your own stories. My grandson and I love to talk about my childhood and about what his father was like as a small child. These stories connect us all as a family, and it's tungsten. Some days, like everyone, I feel down. Most of my life has been solitary, and that can get to a gal. After all, the media is telling us we're destined for the knight in shining armor, right? That's hooey. So when I get down, one of my life hacks is to watch a soppy movie. I know, it's nice though to watch couples fall in love, even if I'm not there myself. This next piece is from the movie About Time, a 2013 romantic science fiction comedy drama film written and directed by Richard Curtis. It stars Domhnall Gleeson, Rachel McAdams, and Bill Nighy. The song is called How Long Will I Love You, and it reminds me of all the great people in my life who are wearing rough edges off of me and doing a really terrific job of being themselves. This is for Pam, Carly, and Nicole.
How long will I love you? As long as stars are above you. Longer if I can. How long will I need you? As long as the seasons meet to follow their plan. How long will I give to you? As long as I live to you. However long you say. How long will I love you? As long as stars are above you. Longer if I may.
For the nice nook. I've learned a lot this winter, but the big one for me is how to tell what the sex is of a woodpecker. For the past 3 years, I've had at least one hairy woodpecker at my bird feeder. They're a little bigger than the downy woodpeckers, but more delicate than the pileated woodpecker, or their cousin the flicker, of which I've got both a red-shafted and a yellow-shafted. But back to identifying the sex of a hairy woodpecker. My birding friend Ken asked me if there was red on the back of the head, and if so, it was a male. The female's head is just black and white, still gorgeous, but no red. It turns out I have one of each, so now we're all hoping for a nest this spring. And if they do, I hope they bring the family to my feeder for takeout. Pugtato Finds a Thing delivers great lessons on friendship, compassion, acceptance, and creativity. It's also reassuring on days when it's all bad news that there are optimistic and decent people. Here are my two crushes, Ted and Skip, whom I babysit regularly, and they're going to help me put together a couple of activities from the Pugtato activity kit, since I couldn't actually do them with Lawson. The banner is enchanting, and the Connect the Dots activity is a great thing to do with a child 4 to 8. As you'll see, it can be pretty popular. Pugtato Finds a Thing activity kit is a companion to Pugtato Finds a Thing by Sophie Corrigan.
This is some activities from a book called Pugtato.
Pugtato.
Pugtato. He finds a thing. And you're supposed to figure out what the thing is. And since you're good with numbers, I figured it.
Yep.
And you make a line from 1 to 2.
2.
And then to 3. Where's 3?
Good.
4.
5.
What is it?
6.
It's a little bit like Sonic, doesn't it? 7, 8, 9, 10.
It's a slug. It is a slug.
Is it a slug?
Yes.
Or is it a...
snail.
It's a snail! So is that what he finds? Pugino finds a snail?
Yeah, he does. Potato finds a snail.
Cool. All right, that was a fast activity. Here's the other one. So these are all the characters in the book.
Yeah. What the heck?
Last two.
That's the potato.
Let's cut them out.
That's...
And then we'll talk about what they are.
Tomato. What the carrot mouse?
Tweet root. What is a tweet root?
I don't know.
So there's a vegetable and a creature.
It's a...
You look like a beet.
Yeah.
Make a beet root.
It's a beet root.
And if it's a tweet, that means it must be a bird, right?
Yeah, it's a tweet.
So a bird and a beet is a tweet root. What do you think?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, this one. Tomatoad. So what does that sound like? Tomatoad.
Tomato toad.
Yeah, tomato toad.
I don't have this one. You don't like tomatoes. I just had it for fun. I'm gonna have that one. The crocodile?
Let's
Broccoli.
Okay. And that one is a care rat. So it's a, what is it?
Rat.
A rat and a
carrot.
Carrot.
Then I can have a corn.
Unicorn on the cob?
Unicorn on the cob.
There we go. And this one is cabbage.
Cabbage. He's cabbage.
Yeah, he's cabbage with a cow. And then there's cauliflower.
Me.
What's a cauliflower?
I'm the three little pigs and the big monster.
You know what the three little pigs are called?
No.
Russell Snouts.
Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, Brussels sprouts is Brussels snouts. And there's Potato who finds a thing. You see why he doesn't know what the thing is? Because it's all curled up inside its shell. So it's just a shell, and that's why he didn't know what it was. Look at the picture again. See, there's just the shell. But when you draw the picture, you realize that it's a snail and it came out of a shell. Cool, eh?
Yes. More potato.
Okay, let's make this. We're gonna see the banner that your mom's got up there. Mm-hmm. We're gonna make a banner just like that.
With these.
Yeah. With these.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. With potato.
Sticky stuff on it.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you've got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got trouble, and I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see it through, 'cause you got a friend in me.
You've been listening to Tungsten, Bulletproof Hacks for the Moth-Eaten. Tungsten is produced by Christine Bruce, aired through CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. Available anytime at smithersradio.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. But let's do it again soon. Until then, keep being you. From my very first episode of Tungsten, I was bust my buttons proud to introduce you to my son Tom and to my grandson Lawson, who are the reason I started Tungsten in the first place. They always make me feel better and stronger. And you don't need to live in the same town anymore. Use Skype or FaceTime on your computer or your phone. Or record yourself reading a story on your phone to send to them. Nana is my favorite name, but you don't need to have grandchildren to get your tungsten on. Babysit or visit the library or your local school and become a reading volunteer. I guarantee it will make you more bulletproof. We started with something light, but in future episodes, prepare to dig into some classics, some banned books, some ridiculous passages, because books of all kinds build tungsten. And in case you need a little fix for the next couple of weeks, I'll leave you with a life hack I found on social media. Adult books are about sad people struggling with challenges, while kids' books have a magic treehouse or a worm driving an apple.